they're giving the imagery here of the name of the Lord. Just the name of the Lord is a strong tower. You run into it and there you are safe. And yes, I will. That's why that song, yes, I will. I'm going to run to the Lord even when I don't feel like it. You better get that deep down in your spirit, because rarely will you always feel like it. You have to run and then your feelings catch up. I run to the strong tower and then my feelings catch up and say, oh, I'm glad you're here. Well, thank you. Where have you been? Because you want to take me the other direction.
Today's Regaining Lost Ground is from a message entitled Lessons from Samson, Surviving the Anointing. As true Christians, we all have an anointing from God. Like Samson, we're called to be set apart and to be fruitful. Pastor Shane explains that surviving that anointing means staying focused when tempted, guarding our hearts, and having holiness as our goal. From Westside Christian Fellowship in Leona Valley, California, here's Pastor Shane Eidelman.
But I did learn many years ago that, like I shared, unless God's Spirit moves, it's pointless. And I'm actually not trying to better myself every single Sunday. That's impossible, and there's nothing to better. It's just you come broken before God, you share what he's put on your heart, and you let the chips fall where they may. And it's interesting, because somebody will text, just happened this week, last week's sermon was, I think, the best I've ever heard. Well, a month ago, somebody said this about this message, and 2 months ago, somebody said, see, it's hitting you where your hearts are at. It's hitting you. The Holy Spirit's speaking to you at certain areas. That's why you leave, oh, that was the best. Well, for someone else, it was like, oh, that. Mm. So my wife will tell me, oh, it's all right. It's all right. That's why she asks every time, what are you speaking on tomorrow? You'll find out, because I'm not talking about it. I'm not telling you. Proverbs 18:10 is such a heavy message. I'm glad we're bringing a little laughter in here, because sometimes I have a hard week with, I have no friends, close friends, people who used to come here, sit over there, just found out he left his wife under our watch. Another friend, suicidal, grown up for years, can't get through. Another person leaves his wife and kids, there's no reconciliation. We can't get, you're two believers. What do you mean there's no reconciliation? Wake up! It's just the brokenness is all over our nation. The brokenness, the broken families, the children, all these, it's just alarming. Where's the weeping? Remember, until your prayer becomes a cry, we're not going to see results. The burden. What is going on? This is a serious issue. All of these people have not survived the anointing, because they've caved in when they should be fighting. So who do you run to when you're pressured? I like Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous man runs into it and is safe. There's nothing more, as far as a symbol of strength. To us today, it would parallel a battleship or a military, you know. You'd say the name of the Lord is like sitting in between the Navy SEALs, or sitting in between, you know, the fighter aircraft, and they're giving the imagery here of the name of the Lord. Just the name of the Lord is a strong tower. You run into it, and there you are safe. And yes, I will. That's why that song, yes, I will. I'm going to run to the Lord even when I don't feel like it. You better get that deep down in your spirit, because rarely will you always feel like it. You have to run, and then your feelings catch up. I run to the strong tower, and then my feelings catch up and say, oh, I'm glad you're here. Well, thank you. Where have you been? Because you want to take me the other direction. Come on, the world sings it. This is my fight song. This is my fight song. This is I'm doing all right song, right? And we know, why can't we say that when it comes to worship? I know I missed up a line there. So where do your feet take you in time of despair? And then verse 18, when Delilah saw that he told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up, for he has told me all his heart. Then she lulled him to sleep on her knees and called for a man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his head. Then she began to torment him, and his strength left him. Now, I often wonder, did Samson really think that would happen? Because you can get so comfortable doing God's will. You sin. I didn't really get caught. I'm sinning. It's not that bad. But did he really know? Because I have a hard time believing that he's going to tell this lady where his strength really lied if he really thought. Because he knew she's sneaky. She's been asking him prior to this. Or did pride get in the way? Say, it won't happen to me. I'm God's man. I'm God's woman. I've been a Christian for 20 years. It won't happen to me. Be careful, Samson. It can. So surviving the anointing, point two, surviving the anointing means that you must guard your heart. You must guard your heart. What does that mean? Well, I'm glad you asked. It means this. Keep your heart with all diligence, Proverbs says. Keep your heart. Guard your heart, for out of it flow the issues of life. Another translation says, for out of it flow the, it's a wellspring of life. Everything comes from the heart. It's not talking about the pumping heart here, but the core of who a person is. Our thoughts, our desires, our motivations, our actions must be guarded. You know, that's where the word guardrails comes from. What are they guarding? Well, they look kind of ugly there on that mountain. What are they guarding? You texting. Guardrails. So you guard your heart the same way. You have these guardrails up. I'm going to be careful, Samson, and not tell people my entire heart. A fool vents all his feelings. I'm going to guard my heart. I'm going to use wisdom. I'm not going to be a chatty Cathy and do all these things. And I'm going to guard my heart. I'm not going to cave into this. I've put boundaries on my heart. Why don't you do that anymore like your friends do? Because I'm guarding my heart. That's how you survive the anointing. One of the steps. And as we know, anger, pride, and giving in to temptation removes the guardrails. Those are the big three we see throughout the Bible, and mainly in Samson's life as well. And I love to say this as often as I can, but you'd be amazed at what God does with humility. I don't know where you're at this morning. I don't know what you're going through, but you would be absolutely amazed to see what God does with humility. To me, I picture this. Humility is like this hard piece of clay that's set out in the sun for weeks, and it's hard. It's just as hard as a rock, but humility allows that clay to be softened and put again there on the potter's wheel. What I wanted to be, this hard and hardness and this rock, humility allows me to go back on the potter's wheel and say, okay, son, here's what I want you to be. If you just, would you just submit to the work in the hands of the potter? That's what humility does. The Bible actually says that he resists the proud. God resists the proud. Can you imagine if Samson would have humbled himself? God, I'm getting trapped here. But he resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. So another point. Surviving the anointing means that holiness becomes your daily goal. How often do we talk about holiness here? Quite a bit. But I can't avoid it on this point of surviving the anointing. Leonard Ravenhill's son, wrote a good book on this. I've passed it out before on surviving the anointing. Because there's a daily attack. There's a weekly attack that's coming against what God is doing in your life. That's what he's after. If he can't get your salvation, he's going to go for your testimony. He's going to go for your influence. So part of surviving that daily attack is holiness. Here's the thing we learned from Samson. I told the men yesterday, they can tweet this, and so can you after the service. Sin fascinates and then it assassinates. That's how it works. It fascinates you and then it assassinates you. But holiness keeps up that guard. You cannot defeat your demons if you're still enjoying their company. See, to survive that anointing, the holiness is the consecration we talked about earlier. My daily walk, your daily walk, there has to be some degree of holiness in God. And I'm fighting this battle, but I'm staying close to the shepherd. And then verse 20. But let me ask this question. Maybe this would be a good time to ponder. Is there any area in your life right now where compromise has entered in? Don't leave here this morning without laying it at the foot of the cross. If there's anything at all where you can see, it's interesting, Delilah isn't described. 36, 24, 36. Flowing locks of whatever, eyes piercing, and Delilah can be whatever it is that takes you down. Whatever it is that is at you and zapping your strength and pulling at you, that can become Delilah to the believer. Pulling them away from what God has called them to do. Verse 20, and she said, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. So he woke from his sleep and said, I will go out as before at other times and shake myself free. No, you won't. It fascinates and then it assassinates. And there's I wish I would have wrote this down. I recommend it before. Tried and Tempted, I believe, by Russell Moore. He's with the Southern Baptist denomination. And he makes a great point that the demonic realm, demons, aren't in a hurry. They'll let you get away with things for a while. And he talks about how cows go to the slaughterhouse. They're on this nice conveyor belt. They go through this chute. Feels just like their mother's womb. And they're just in this relaxed state. This feels wonderful until a sharp instrument hits them right between their eyes and kills them. The whole point is this luring and this, I'll go out as other times before. We can't confuse God's patience with his approval. One of the saddest scriptures, I think, in all of the Old Testament for an individual is this. The Bible says, but he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. And I wonder how many churches, they don't even know that the Spirit of the Lord has departed from them. People will go because it's got great kids programs, but is the Spirit of God there? Because I don't consider foosball and a skate park something that's always great. But the worship, it has smoke. And all these lights. And they grab this guy from Hollywood, Shane, he's in a band. But is the Spirit of God there? Is the Spirit of the living God in that place? Because that's just entertainment of men. Where the Spirit of God, do they even know when the Spirit of God has departed? Why should church be a cemetery? Answer me that. A.W. Tozer said, in the early church, if the Holy Spirit was removed from the early church, 90% of the work would have ceased. But if the Holy Spirit is removed from the church today, 90% of the work will continue. And that is so true. Because we think, well, if God's not in it, it'll fall apart. No, it won't. Just look at Hollywood. You can get a good motivational speaker. You can fill a stadium in Texas. You'll get that later. But you can do all that. You can have the top musicians. This one's in a band. This one's over here. Now that might be okay. But we need people on our board that are smart-minded businessmen. No, are they filled with the Spirit of God? That's what we want. Are they filled with the Spirit of God? And now, and this happens at least twice. I don't know. Once every 2 months. You should let such and such speak. Are they filled with the Spirit of God? Oh yeah, but they've got a great story. They're really gifted. Do they have God's Spirit, the anointing, the unction, the fire? Because that's how you penetrate the deepest levels of the heart. He knew not that the Spirit of the Lord had departed. That might be a good question for some of you to ask this morning. Holy Spirit, am I just going through the motions? Has that deep penetrating work left it? Now here's the key I need to clarify. In the Old Testament, the Spirit of God would come upon Samuel. The Spirit of God would come upon Saul. The Spirit of God would come upon David. The Spirit of God would come upon Elisha. The Spirit of God would come upon Samson. So they would, and the Bible actually says they're turned into other men. That's what happens. When the Holy Spirit of God fills you, you are turned into a different person. What you used to like, you don't like as much. What you used to prefer, you don't prefer as more. Now it's all about God, and your friends are going to mock you. And your family. But it's all about God, right? Because I've been turned into another man. I'm filled with the Spirit of God. In the Old Testament, though, God could remove that spirit. Talk about dangerous. Sin would enter. Saul would rebel against God. God would say, I desire obedience, Saul. Obedience. For disobedience is as a sin of witchcraft. Rebellion is this. And the Holy Spirit of God will be removed. Gone. Can you imagine that? How would you like to be left to yourself? Just turn me over to me. Oh, we should go into prayer right now for that one because, oh God. But in the New Testament, you're given the Holy Spirit as a gift, but you can quench and grieve his work. Something I think of often, especially when we make a fire, is you have this roaring fire, right? You can feel the heat. Sometimes you're back, I don't know, 20, 30 feet in this room. You feel it. Brant, your house, right? Where you at? Yeah. Yours, you feel the whole house. And you feel the heat from this. But then as the hours go by, it's gone. Not necessarily. You can pick around. Oh, there's a little coal. Oh, yeah, there is a little coal right there. I don't feel anything. And that's where many Christians live. They've grieved and they quenched the Holy Spirit of God. It's there. But they no longer feel the warmth. They no longer feel that fire. Let me talk to you for a minute who used to feel that fire. Do you remember how it was when everywhere you go, you had to witness? It's just like, what's coming out? I'm just so joyful today. And you're so joyful. And then the enemy begins to wear you down and goes after that anointing. And instead of, there's that little ember left. No warmth, no heat. You can't even see it, but it's there. What's it waiting for? It's waiting for fuel. Just try throwing a little bit of newspaper in there. That's all the Holy Spirit's looking for. He won't make us do anything. He waits. He waits, and we throw fuel on that fire, and then God lights us with the Spirit of God. Then the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza. They bound him with bronze fetters, and he became a grinder in the prison. I told you, fascinates, then assassinates. I know some of you have had some serious health issues. I guarantee you've never had your eyes gouged out. Or would know even what that feels like. They would lay the person down. They would get an element that's like an ice cream scooper or a pluck. And they would just remove his eyes. What's the significance? Because now he's nothing. He can't see. He can't do anything. So his eyes have been removed. And he's got bronze fetters, which are like handcuffs. He's bound, and he becomes a grinder at the prison. So he's walking around like an oxen, and he's walking around this thing, and he's grinding whatever it is, the wheat, the barley, whatever that is. He becomes a grinder in the prison. You think you struggle with depression? Try that one out. This mighty man of God, called of God, anointed of God. God told the people, the children of Israel, I've heard your cries. I'm putting Samson, a deliverer, in the womb of this woman. She's going to take a Nazirite vow, and we're going to build him. We're going to strengthen him. The anointing of God that no one has ever felt. He slew Philistines with the jawbone of an axe. He was powerful. What happened? These are wake-up calls. Paul said the Old Testament was given to you as an example that you might not lust after evil things like they lusted. These should be examples to us. You might say, Shane, well, what is sin? Well, I came across John Wesley's journal and what his mom said. I like what she said, so I borrowed it. Whatever weakens your reasoning, whatever impairs the tenderness of your conscience, whatever obscures your sense of God or takes away your relish for spiritual things. In short, if anything increases the authority of the flesh over the spirit, that is sin to you. I hadn't thought about it that deeply until that last part. Whatever increases the authority of the flesh over the spirit is sin. Meaning whatever builds the flesh and quenches and grieves the Spirit of God, that is sin. That is missing the mark. And it will come out in our lives in a negative direction. And we see, this is ironic, the parallel here. The enemy targets your eyesight. Did you know that? The enemy targets, not physically, obviously. Sometimes, maybe, for as we get older, we realize it's an issue. But he that spiritual eyesight, because see, when you know where you're going, not too many people can knock you off track, can they? You know where you're going. This got me through the early church years. No matter how many negative emails, no matter how people said, you can't start a church on Saturday, you're too hard, you don't have any education. I don't care what you say, naysayers and taunters. I see what Christ has called me to. I've got vision, I've got spiritual sight, and come hell or high water, that's where I'm going. So the enemy's going to knock you off course. He's going to get rid of your eyes. God, I don't know. I'm groping around. What have you called me to do? I can't even lead my family. I don't know where my direction is, my career. I'm gone. I'll just sit at home and watch stuff that is perverted and fill the flesh up with more of the flesh. I don't know what you call me to do. So now I'm depressed. I'm lazy. I'm discontent. I don't know. He goes after that eyesight, that spiritual sight of what God's called you to do. Well, I don't know what he's called to do. Well, get here in the morning on your face on the altar. He'll show you. He'll show you. Many times we think we'll just drive and pop. There it is. No. It's time spending time with God. And like Samson, though you're grinding in the mill in the prison, and as that hair begins to grow back, as the anointing begins to grow back, So to survive the anointing, you must readjust your focus. You must know when spiritual eyesight is declining. You ever go to the optometrist? Those of you who wear glasses, what do? Adjustments. That's why we have so much time of prayer and worship here. We try to, at least anyway. I know people think, oh, that Westside Christian Fellowship, is that the church that does a lot of worship? Yeah, that's the church that does a lot of worship. Maybe that's why you're here this morning. Your eyesight needs readjusting and focus. You need to get that calling back. You need to get that burning desire back. You need to get that unction of the Holy Spirit. Oh, Shane, but I'm old. Yeah, but old intercessors are powerful. Powerful. You realize this. I realize something. I don't know who I was reading. E.M. Bounds. I've got a whole stack of books because I'm preparing for Wednesday's message. Oh, it's a good intro or good promotion. Wednesday, I'm talking about waiting time is not wasted time. Wednesday at 6. This Wednesday at 6. Waiting time is not wasted time. We're considering not even videoing it, not even doing a live stream. Then people show up. They think they can just sit at home with the kids running around screaming and watch on TV. That's just as good, not even close. So all the live streamers out there, come in person. It's much, much better. You can feel the presence and power of God.
You've been listening to Regaining Lost Ground, an encouragement of truth from God's Word from Pastor Shane Eidelman of Westside Christian Fellowship. You can find out more about the ministry and also stream the Sunday services live at westsidechristianfellowship.org. Look for Pastor Shane's messages on YouTube and follow the ministry on Facebook and Twitter. Also, check out the Eidelman Unplugged weekly podcasts where you can hear more from Pastor Shane. Thank you for listening to Regaining Lost Ground. And remember, times change. Truth does not.